Hey.
Love Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. Hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, across North America, Canada, and even the small community of Paducah, Kentucky. A big hello. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, always dependable, always here, and usually regular, the Honorable, Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Well, we're excited about the show tonight. We've got another size moron.
We do.
I don't know. You're going to have too much size more.
Well, never enough. Aaron
right.
Sizemore
That's
joins
a good attitude.
Us. Yeah. Well, Tom was
good
on the
show. Good to be with you guys.
Well, thank you. He was on a few weeks ago. And
my brother
so
Tom?
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
he's quite loquacious.
Yeah, he, whatever that word means, I don't know. I have to consult Dr. Day.
He talks real fast, but he still makes sense.
You know, that's true.
He's got the gift for gab.
Yeah, he does have the gift of gab.
He got the gift. It's loquacious.
Yeah, well, I'll remember
but,
that.
But he still makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure that was good.
Yeah, it was a great
Yeah.
Movie.
So
we enjoyed having him on.
I'm sorry, Dr. Dan.
That was a great show. We enjoyed having him on.
Oh, it was a great show.
Was he talking about, I love sports, probably talking about the Tigers.
Well,
oh, yeah.
We got into the Lions.
He's a sports fanatic, you know. I mean, Stafford,
yeah.
He loves Stafford. And I don't doubt it. He was actually, that was probably Tom's best sport, was he could throw the hell out of the foot. He can still throw the football probably on a dime. Like and he expects me to catch it, too, you know, just like I'm still like 15. Throw it on a dime about 60 yards, you know.
Well, we'll get into that. Absolutely, we will.
Yeah, you got
we want to remind
hell
everyone,
arm.
Yeah, that this part of Wild World is brought to you by Wildlife Educational Services and our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs. And go to our website, you have the opportunity to order our children's book by myself and my wife, Cheryl. It's called Alphabet Swamp. It's available for $10, autographed to whomever you'd like us to sign it to. Go to the website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for October the 9th. Gentlemen, are you ready?
We're ready.
Ready.
All right. Well, we've got going to start out the Wild World News with a strange story from the Big Apple. Now, listen to this. A bear cub has been found dead under a bush inside New York City's Central Park. And authorities believe that the body may have been dumped there.
Well, yes, it has.
Now, the cub was found Monday by a Central Park employee. Now, no bears were reported missing from the area zoos there, and they're not among the park's known wildlife population.
No,
right?
They're not.
No, no, I wouldn't think
park.
That's
right.
No bears in Central Park.
the Bronx Zoo is performing a necropsy to determine how the cub died. Now, they're not even sure what type of bear it was.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you've worked with a lot of bears over the years. wouldn't you be able to kind of tell what kind of bear it was?
Well, yeah, within about 2 seconds.
No, somebody probably got it hunting and as a cub, maybe, and foolishly took it out of its natural habitat, and the bear became ill and just dumped it, rather mercilessly. It sounds judgmental, but that's what it kind of reeks of to me.
Yeah, well, I have a good friend who lived in New York City, and they said once they found the hand of a gorilla in the trash. So nothing surprises me when it comes to New York City. So I assume it was hunted on the outskirts, killed, and somebody thought they'd play a little joke on the community. So
you have a friend there at the Bronx Zoo, don't you?
I'm sorry?
You have a friend there at the Bronx Zoo, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, you might have to follow this story up. We'll let our listeners know next week what exactly is going on.
Well, yeah, and keep your staff on it.
All right, now.
Yeah, it was just a cub found dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they didn't hunt it and kill it. Maybe they tried to naively, foolishly, or take it home. Who knows? And then found it, too onerous, and instead of, doing the right thing, since they brought it home and getting it to proper people to take care of it, just dumped it.
Yeah.
Or they killed it, like you said, to begin with, and just as a little joke here is dumping in the community.
Yeah.
Get a little headline they can chuckle about when they're anonymously reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, we'll let our listeners know what's going on.
Yes.
All right, well, a large pod of sperm whales has been sighted off in Dana Point, California.
Cool.
Yes, this happened on Monday. Now, more than 50 mothers and their calves were witnessed rolling and playing with dolphins.
Wow, that's very cool. You know, our friend Al Jardine from the Beach Boys is quite the whale watcher, so.
Quite, yes. And Al, where does he live?
He lives in Monterey Bay.
Monterey Bay, that's right.
Yeah.
Great place for whale watching.
It is, absolutely.
Well, they're at it again in Fort Myers, Florida. Eyes are back on the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam now that it's breeding season.
Mmm.
Now, more than 20 million viewers watched Bald
Eagle. It's always a good time.
Ozzie and Harriet and their offspring online over the last 2 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Ozzie and Harriet are back at it.
That's pretty cool.
Ozzie and Harriet are back at it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I imagine they'd have to have a couple kids named Dave and Ricky, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Biff sounds like a verb now. I don't know if that was ever a name, so I biff him.
Yeah.
All right, state wildlife officials trapped and relocated an adult male grizzly bear after it killed a calf on a U.S. Forest Service grazing allotment.
Really?
Yeah, in Jackson, Wyoming.
Hmm.
Now,
that was a
the
cow,
bear was there right? first.
Yeah. You know, the government reimburses them for that, but there was that one sorry guy that they caught that actually had a wolf paw that he would dip it in blood, and then when he'd lose cattle, he'd leave these footprints all over the animal that had died, and then turn it into the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They caught him, thank goodness, boy, but I'll tell you what, wolves get blamed for so much. It's just...
I know. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, they were there first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this is our neighborhood.
They lose more cattle to lightning and elements than they ever do wolves.
Yeah.
So that's exactly.
That makes a better story.
Yeah.
All right.
And the wolves get vilified.
Yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire ants. Now, if you're planning a vacation on Maui here in the near future, the State Department of Agriculture has confirmed that a large forested area on Maui is infested with stinging fire ants.
Oh, God.
Yeah, now the state says that the ant is considered among the world's most invasive species.
And dangerous.
And if you've ever been bit by a fire ant, you know exactly what they mean. It does not feel good.
So well, you know, when I was a youngster, we were in Colorado. Though I don't know if there were fire ants. I take that back. It was in Colorado Springs, and I actually sat on a red ant hill. And oh, God. I can still remember that, and that's been, God, 55 years ago. So, my God.
Well, when I lived in
Panama, wow. Indelible memory.
I used to swim in the Panama Canal pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire ants would fall out of the trees, and, of course, they'd float on top of the water. Well, they'd lock onto anything that was nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times that I'd got out of the water, and I'd have a couple of dozen fire ants attached to me.
Oh.
Yeah, you were something nearby.
I was something nearby. I was floating. All right, we've got clams flexing their muscles in Waco, Texas. State wildlife and city officials are hoping they can eliminate an infestation of zebra mussels at Lake Waco before the invasive species takes over.
Well, they've been a problem. They were a problem in the Great Lakes for years, and I don't know how they finally resolved that.
They still are, and what's happening is people are taking, you know, their boats out and not cleaning out the pumps, and so every time they go to a new lake, they deposit a few more zebra mussels, and they clog up all of the drainage systems, and it's just a bad thing.
We just need to go find these people and slap them. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, yeah. We'll
just knock
their boats
them out.
Away from them.
Take their boats away.
That's right.
Right.
All right, to quote Vicki Lawrence, that's the night that the lights went out in St. George, Utah.
Uh-oh.
Now, authorities say that a fox sneaked into an electrical substation, electrocuted itself, and knocked out power to over 8,000 customers over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I can see a fox doing that.
Yeah, now, if a fox can get into an establishment like that, then, you know, what else can get in there? Kids or whatever? I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. All right, now we've got bees behaving badly. We've got two stories tonight. Hearn, Texas. Police say a man was airlifted to a hospital after being attacked by a swarm of bees while mowing near a self-storage facility.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing all right. Now, another man has been killed and another injured after they were attacked by a swarm of bees in Douglas, Arizona.
Those are those Africanized bees, and that second story. Did you hear how many bees were involved with that? They estimated
about 800,000.
Yes, you're a dead man. I mean, you get stung a couple hundred times by that many. Oh my Lord, it's that's a bad way to go.
Oh I've been stung a few dozen times.
That sounds awful.
Oh, my God.
800,000 bees.
Yeah.
How could you escape that? And the Africanized bees have such an evil temperament. You know, they're far more aggressive than your common honeybee. And they're migrating, and people have to be careful. I mean, I got into just a regular yellow jacket nest, underground one this past summer, mowing. And my God, you run like the wind.
And they'll still follow you for up to a mile or so.
Yeah. No, well, they attacked the lawnmower, luckily. I only got stung, I think, once or twice in the face, but God help them when I went to the hardware store. Yellow jacket spray. I got my revenge, so I feel so bad.
You just got a little Botox, too.
Yeah, I did get some Botox. didn't help it.
Yeah. It'll work as a little Botox sting there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you ever wanted a buffalo, now's your chance. Medora, North Carolina. The National Park Service plans to reduce the buffalo herd in the south unit of Theodore Roosevelt National Park by as much as 2/3. So, the herds are doing very well in North Dakota.
You know, I'd like to talk to buffalo. They're gonna kill a bunch in Yellowstone, too. I'd like to talk to them. You know, they have to be careful because these bison herds are very sophisticated. I mean, they have leaders and sub-leaders, and if they don't take the entire herd out and just take the adult bulls, it screws everything up. I mean, it's just like
the hierarchy of the family.
Yeah,
and, right.
Yeah, it completely devastates them, and it does more harm than good in the long run. Because when he has a buffalo ranch in Iowa, and when they kill buffalo for to process it, they say a prayer just like the Native Americans would do, and they go out and they take the entire herd. They don't just take the bulls. Because it messes it. It's like elephants. It's very sophisticated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I always
almost
say.
That should almost be a law that they're going to hunt. That they have to do it like that. That's the only remotely humane way.
And as we talked about it.
It sounds odd to say humane. You're killing them all, but.
Right.
From what you're saying, that would be the best.
And we know that nature has a way of thinning out the herds anyway, when they get so large. So, just leave it to nature.
Right. And what do we usually say, Dr. Day?
Nothing smells like a wet buffalo.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
It doesn't doesn't sound like the best smell.
I have to just, All right, now, as we were talking a little earlier, we're going to Colville, Washington. Angry sheep and cattle ranchers told Fish and Wildlife Department officials that the wolf attacks are threatening their livelihood.
Oh, bull.
Yeah.
They buy Pyrenees. They get Pyrenees dogs. And that they'll protect the herds.
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. Quit your whining.
Yeah, quit your whining. You know, I was thinking of that story about, these ranchers.
That sounds
whining.
Like enough due process. Quit your whining.
Yeah, quit your whining. I wonder what Dave Davies would say, lead singer or lead guitar player.
The
gang.
Well, Larry, me and my brother, we fight a lot. We fight, kind of like wolves, except he bites.
I'm so sorry, Aaron.
You can always count on Dave.
Except he writes.
We love him.
All right, now you'll really enjoy this next story. Flagstaff, Arizona. Grand Canyon officials plan to elk-proof the water stations that were installed after disposable plastic bottles were banned in the park.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Now, the elk are lifting spring-loaded levers with their noses to get a drink of water. And if one of the park visitors comes close, they get very aggressive because that's their watering hole.
That's right. That's funny.
Yeah.
We need video, Dr. Day. Put your staff on that.
They, they thought they had a good idea and...
Yeah, they did.
There you go.
That's the idea.
It's theirs for proprietary interest.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, it's time for those damn beavers.
Uh-oh.
Port Orchard, Washington. Road crews have had it with a beaver that persist in building a dam under a bridge on Longview Road. Mm-hmm. Now, since August, the crews have removed 3 beaver dams.
Oh, my. They're persistent.
Yeah.
And one thing you can say about a beaver, they're not lazy.
And they're busy.
And they're busy. Yeah. They're not lazy, and they keep busy. Yes.
All right. We're at that time of the show where it's time to play Celebrity Birthdays, Who's Gotten Older?
Oh, great.
Are you ready, Aaron?
Who's Gotten Older today? Celebrity birthdays?
The past week since we've since
the
our
past
last show.
Week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
He's ready.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Tell me how old singer guitarist Steve Miller is.
Miller? Oh, I'll tell you. I would say Steve Miller is 73.
I was going to say 72.
Well, gentlemen, you are very close. October 5th, Steve Miller turned 71.
I put him. I put him because he. A few years ago, he played a tune with McCartney where he played guitar, But he's still a little younger than McCartney.
Yeah, he did the entire album. I can't think of the name of the album offhand, but yeah.
He played with McCartney, right?
Yeah, it was the whole album they did together. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
Yeah,
Flamin'
cool.
Pie. Flamin' Pie. That was the name of the album.
That's
a great album. If that's on Flamin' Pie, that's a great album.
Oh, my God.
All right, gentlemen. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac.
Go ahead.
Lindsey Buckingham. Okay, now she's going to be younger because she's big when I'm in, like, Rumors is, like, huge when I am in ninth grade. So I'm going to say she's 62.
I'll say 64.
Oh, Mr. Batson was a little closer. Lindsey turned 65.
Oh,
yeah, I want to make them younger.
Yeah, well, that's all right. They like that.
Yeah. 65,
close,
you know. Somebody said time waits for no man.
Yeah, it waits for no one, including myself.
I think that was Denny McLean.
And somebody said time wounds all heels.
Yeah.
Ah, that was Norm Cash, Larry.
I think that was Groucho. I'm not sure. But all right.
Who, Groucho?
Yeah, I think that was Groucho. All right. How
Groucho
old is
said a lot of funny things.
Tommy Lee of Motley Crue.
Tommy Lee? I'd say he's still 58.
I'd say Aaron's damn close, 55.
Oh, gentlemen, your age.
Made him older.
Tommy just turned 52.
Sorry, Tommy Lee.
Oh, he looks 80. But
he can still rock. It's like Keith Richards,
All right, now this one surprised me. How do you think Jackson Browne is?
I love Jackson Browne.
Yes.
Although I think one of his best. I do that bestest stuff with the Arts, like it's a foot race, but I don't think he ever topped Doctor My Eyes. He probably wrote that when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
But so what a great song. I mean, he wrote a lot of great tunes. Okay, now how old is he? Jackson Browne. He looks great. But he is, let's see, Tommy Lee is 52.
Yeah.
How old is Tommy Lee? 52? Jackson
52,
Brown?
Right.
Days older. Jackson Brown's like James Taylor's age. I hate to make him 59.
I'm going to say 61.
Oh, well, he'll be happy you guys said that. Yeah, Jackson Browne turned 66 this week.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
See, it's just like it's our own mortality when we look at these guys that have achieved this kind of stardom and would think, geez, I mean, I just remember putting on Running on Empty, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Just like yesterday, I was taking out an LP, you know, putting it on a turntable.
I agree.
And my wife is a great Jackson Browne fan, so we yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dr. Dave.
He's one of those real troubadours and just kept writing good songs. I don't think he got, that whole thing that artists, those songwriters are not trying to make money. I mean, geez, I mean, it's a music industry. It's a big industry, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's glad to make a few dollars, but I don't think he seemed like a real artist, you know, always trying to write a good song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even McCartney, those last two tunes that he wrote when he put out that collection, Kisses on the Bottom, it was the tunes his father played when he was a kid.
Yep.
You know, with the Kisses on the Bottom was a lyric from one of them tunes that his dad liked. It's kind of a suggestive lyric, you know, Kisses on the Bottom. But for Paul McCartney, but
that's a nice way to say one.
But he had them two original tunes on there that were great.
Yeah.
Still writing great songs. You know,
yes, he is.
Yeah.
We love him.
Still putting them out.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, local musician, John Mellencamp.
Oh, Cougar Mellencamp.
Toby Myers,
Cougar,
is an old bass
man,
player, is a
know,
good friend of our show. So
he's another guy. He's a real troubadour, I think.
Yeah.
I'll say he's, if Jackson Brown's 67, Cougar's, John Cougar's younger. He's 63.
Five.
65. Oh, 65. Well, I thought he was a little younger.
Well, how old is he?
Sizemore has won again. He has exactly turned 63 this week.
Oh, well, congratulations, Aaron. You get a shiny new dime.
What do I get?
A shiny new dime.
Tell him what
right,
he's won, Larry. All right. Now, this one might be a little tough on you, gentlemen. A singer, Sean Lennon.
Mm.
Oh.
I feel sorry for Sean.
Yes. Especially today.
Well, you know, I don't think, you know, imagine your dad's John Lennon and he died. I mean, number one, just a tragic death, but then that you're like disinherited essentially. I mean, that just seems
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, and like the, you know, it's like,
and today's John's
birthday. It's like antithetical to nature, you know. The natural
mm-hmm.
recipient of your bounty would be your children, of course, your wife, but your children.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think he wasn't included in the will. Now, the way I justify that, because I don't want to dislike John Lennon, because
mm-hmm.
you know I just love that whole period and the Beatles so much, is that I don't think John was in his right mind. I think
yeah.
he had, you know, done too much acid. So then that's how I rationalize it. And he really it wasn't his will
yeah.
to disinherit Julian.
Yeah.
But and that's another point. But anyway,
well,
Julian, I'd say Julian is born. Julian was born. Okay, we can do this one easy because John had a kid. Julian's
you said
around.
Sean,
hey, Jude is 68. He's probably 4 years old. So 78, 88, 98, 2008. That's 16 years. That's 46, 52.
Now, are you saying, Julian, we're talking Sean?
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm totally different. Okay, Sean. Sean, okay, excuse me. Sean didn't get disinherited at all.
No, he's all right.
Plus, he's younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the strange
Sean's
thing.
Sean's probably born in 19, I'd say 1975. No, maybe earlier, but let's see. Well, Sean's probably born in 72 maybe. So 82,
92, 92, 92, 2002.
He's
44.
I say he's
31. 31? Okay. Now, here's the strange thing. Sean turned 39 today.
Oh,
okay,
39. 39.
Yes, and he was born on his father's birthday. John Lennon was born on this day in 1940 in Liverpool.
Yeah, that's right.
I know he was born in 40 because it's the same year as my dad.
Number nine.
It was his
that's
favorite
right.
number.
He
drew it on his little childhood drawings, all the characters, like
mm-hmm.
the football players would be. Oh, they all had number nine.
Yep.
A lot of them anyway.
And
yep.
while we're talking birthdays, your brother just had a birthday September 29th, didn't he?
Tom?
Well, you know, Tom's birthday varies. I used to be his younger brother. And now I'm his older brother. And, you know, it's just one of those things you got to accept with Hollywood. I'm not sure. Je ne sais pas. Take the fifth on that one, man.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to him tomorrow.
Well, now, see, I always remember my brother's birthday because he was born on the same day as me. So why I was at home alone celebrating my first birthday, my mother was in the hospital having him. So, yeah, I'll never forget his birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got my brother at what day?
Let's see, he was born September 29th, 1961, which makes him 53.
Yeah. October.
Yeah.
It's October.
Yeah. It's in
October. They got the month wrong. It's October 29th.
Oh, is it? Well, I thought he said...
Yeah.
Okay, then he told me the wrong
date. It's October, yeah.
Okay.
So it's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, we'll have to send him a birthday card.
Yeah, we will.
Yep.
All right, now there's some sad news. Paul Revere of Paul Revere and the Raiders has passed away.
Yeah.
Girl, you got this need to know what I'm all about. And now there's something that you think you can't figure out. And almost taste it, baby, and it's sweet as wine. There's a custom tailored world that I gotta own someday. Special place up high, you can stay alone, you and me. Girl, I'm gonna have it all someday if you'll just hang on to my hand.
Yeah, and he worked almost up till the end. He passed away of cancer, so.
I was just thinking it wasn't that long ago I saw him in some kind of a tribute show with a bunch of other bands.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a year ago or so.
Well, one of our friends on the show, Aaron, is Gary Lewis of Gary Lewis and the Playboys, which we all remember. And they played a lot of gigs together. In fact, I was going to call Gary today and see if he had anything he'd like to mention because of that happening, but... Yeah, so that is sad news. But God love him, man. All the hours of entertainment. Remember the show Where the Action Is?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of. Not as old as you guys.
Yeah, I know we're older.
And would he put on it? Would he rock it? Would he rock it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They were kind of like the house band. So Paul Revere and the Raiders. So we enjoyed Kicks, Hungry. Just like me. They had a lot of great songs. Indian Reservation. So, yeah, it was all good. All good.
Okay, how old was Paul Revere?
He was 74, if my memory is correct, what I read this week. So.
See, I hate to hear that kind of. I mean, I know that's a good, you know, I mean, okay, 74. He lived a good life. He had a great time. I hate to hear those do that because, like, both my parents are my dad's 74. I'm 72. It's like, you know, that mortality thing is just, you know.
I know.
I'm reading a friend of mine. He's in his 70s, and he wrote a little post. So like you don't necessarily think you're going to find something that memorable on Twitter, but I was on Twitter saying something about this movie campaign, and he said something like, "Well, he is going to go to sleep, and well, at his age, you just don't know. Could be the last time he lies down."
Yeah, that's I lost a good friend that way. So, watched Monday Night Football with his son, went to bed, and never woke up. And I'll tell
right.
you what, that's the best way to
74,
go.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't like
Dr.
to think
Day.
About it.
Yeah, we won't. Dr. Day?
All right, well, we're running a little long tonight, so let's kind of round this up. Are you gentlemen ready for the Wild World Facts of the Day?
Wild World Facts of the Day, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you can't make cottage cheese out of camel's milk because it doesn't curdle.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I was wanting some, by the way.
So don't try.
No, I won't then.
Doesn't curdle, okay.
I had a desire
okay.
for it.
All right, next time you fill
out. I thought it was a punchline, but it's just a fact.
it's just a fact.
Okay.
Just facts.
All right, now.
I'm still angry that I've confused Julian and Sean Lennon, but go ahead.
Well, that's
okay.
Oh, we're confused every week, Aaron, so it doesn't matter.
Julian, come on. How can I
now,
confuse?
Listen to this, gentlemen.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah,
hey, Julian.
A snail can sleep for 3 years.
Wow. I had an uncle that could do that.
I did, too. My dad...
I was so jealous of him.
Well, he couldn't sleep for 3 years, but, I mean, you know, just about seemed like it sometimes.
All right, now I want our listeners to think about this before they drop off to sleep tonight. It only takes about 7 pounds of pressure to rip your ears off.
To what?
Rip
7 pounds
off.
Of pressure to just rip them off.
That's right, only seven
just
pounds of pressure.
Well, that explains all those wrestlers.
You know, there's guys that could just pull your ear off if they wanted to, you know?
That's right, yeah.
Gosh, I think about that every day.
Watch that road rage when you're looking at that.
Oh, my God.
Did you get to see the lunar eclipse yesterday morning?
You know, I was busy driving on 465, which is like NASCAR racing at that time. But Cheryl saw it. I didn't get a chance to see it. Did you see it, Aaron? Were you up in time?
No.
Yeah, well, that's what I kind of figured. But.
Well, anyway, it was quite spectacular.
I'll
and we have a full moon out there tonight, and as we always warn our listeners, there are more animal attacks during the full moon than any other time of the month.
I hope
I think I got a police, very good police officer friend and Wayne County Sheriff's Office, and I think she would have test to that for crime.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Corktown, a preacher told me the same thing.
Yeah.
People act more, you know, oddly.
And I'll bet school people will tell you that too.
Well, gentlemen, that's the Wild World News for October the 9th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters, now HD, newly renovated and beautiful knotty pine paneling. Looks so nice, Dr. Day. And acoustically sounds fantastic. And the great job that he does each week for us. We want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. If you've never been to the west and had a chance to see the Rockies or the Front Range, please, at least once in your lifetime, head west. It's an absolutely spiritual experience. It's right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. And if you stay at McGregor Mountain Lodge, you can have all kind of wildlife in your backyard, bighorn sheep, mule deer, elk. It's absolutely amazing. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. And also they have a wonderful webcam, so you can have a chance to check out the recent weather. I know they've had some snow already in that part of Colorado. And the mountains had a light dusting of snow, and the colors are still good. Now's a great time because the park is not that crowded, and it's there for you to enjoy. And McGregor Mountain Lodge is one of our underwriters that make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
They're gonna put me in the movie
Our guest tonight, brother of actor Tom Sizemore, who has done so many great films, and Aaron Sizemore has written this brilliant screenplay called An Honest Thief that's going to be filmed in Detroit, and Aaron joins us. I had to play that whole song. I'm sorry.
That's a great song, but I'm trying to think the guy who wrote it, but he was a part. He ended up doing Hee Haw for a while with Gene Clark.
Buck Owen!
Yep.
Yes.
Great songwriter.
Oh, absolutely. And we loved the way the Beatles did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my favorite version, too. Ringo sing and lead.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, Aaron, it's great to have you on the show. We've been.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're so glad your mother's doing much better. Aaron almost had. I didn't tell Dr. Day, I didn't call him, that Aaron almost had to cancel but his mom is doing much better, and he was able to join us, and we're so happy because we were looking forward to this show.
I was looking forward to doing it. I was glad I was able to. No, she's fine. It was just heart palpitations, but she's got an aneurysm that we're watching very closely. So,
mm-hmm.
And that everything got elevated with the she's got an artificial valve. It was, you know,
that's
congenital.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. Incredibly, especially when people, you know, get older, you know.
Yeah, well,
we'll say a little
we were talking
prayer
earlier, but she's fine.
Well, we'll
she's
say a little
well.
Prayer for her. I mean, guys.
Thank you.
And all of our listeners around the world, and gosh, so many of them. And first of all, I mentioned this to your brother Tom. Are you guys nuts?
Wait a minute. Guilt by association now. You know, what is this?
That is, people
what
don't
are you
realize,
talking about?
That is one of the hardest things to ever do is to put a movie together. And not only that, And the way that you're going to finance this thing is absolutely extraordinary. We so much hope that we help here tonight is. We hope that we, I can't talk, helped when Tom was on. Tell us how.
Well, I hope you helped, too. I started writing it. You know, I would read the screenplays Tom would bring home, and, you know, I had worked as an editor to Detroit News, and then I went to law school, which is, a lot of reading. I practice it, but... I really like the creative arts more, but there is a creativity to practice on the law well, and particularly in litigation.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad was really the precursor of all this fascination with the arts and that. He was philosophy and literature. It was just, you know, all, you know, it like some kids, their dads are under the hood of a car, right? And so you, you want to know what the hell's so interesting about this, and then you end up learning about engines and, because that's
sure.
what dad is. And well, my dad was always, you know, had a book open in front of him. So, so you know, I think as it started, even the acting for Tom was reading.
Wow.
And, you know, reading about, you know, I remember when he read a book about Montgomery Clift. It was a great actor, and he had a troubled life. But he was really gifted, and he read Monty by Patricia Bosworth. It was a, I think it was in, yeah, Tom was probably a senior or going into 12th grade, and that book went from my dad to Tom to me, and it was just compelling. This is story of New York and the method acting, and Tom caught the bug on the acting, and I always, you know, it was more reading, you know, doing a lot of reading, and so I thought I had this grandiose notion. I can write a. I've been reading these scripts that you've been bringing home every Christmas. And, you know, yeah, some of them are great, but some of them are. You know, I can write one of these, and got this idea. And then, you know, so I started running into my Tom, of course, with so much experience, and then he would you know, give me, you know, suggestions. But really it was just the encouragement from somebody who had done so much. And then even his friends, you know, like Tom Jane was one of his buddies. They had done based on a Stephen King novel. They had done a movie. Morgan Freeman, I always forget the name of it, but it'll come to me. And then I met Tom Jane. Tom Jane really was encouraging. And just like initial kind of like, you know, just draft, just an idea. And I had this idea of a thief. And then you know, I wanted him to be complex, so, you know, I had this idea of the philosopher and Diogenes running around the streets of Athens with this flashlight, according to lore, according to legend, and, you know, running around looking for an honest man, you know, Diogenes,
yeah.
You know, in front of the streets of Athens looking for an honest man, and he's actually, that's just a little bit of the story where we hear of the search for the honest man by Diogenes, which was futile.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually for him it was successful, because he was looking to show that there it was really an earlier version of He Without Sin Cast First Stone. He was looking to show that why was he being persecuted so much, and none of your hands are clean, and
yeah.
You know, everybody's flawed, and
sure.
and that was really the ultimate lesson of the guy in Athens with the lantern, Diogenes. So then I started crafting the main thief, and I thought, you know, I was doing it, you know, and you gotta be, you know, it's like confident to the point of almost, like I said, it's a grandiose notion. I write a screenplay. Are you kidding me? Like you said, and put it together. Jeez. But, you know, I had to maintain that confidence, and I had the encouragement of a couple of guys that really helped. And then I wanted the depth, the characters to have depth, and not just be this one-dimensionalist kind of like comic book. Not to cast any aspersions on it. Comic books can be incredibly complex and well done, but not just this
sure.
one-dimensional comic book kind of thieving guy. I wanted him to have this kind of search and this quest, and I kind of loosely based him on Diogenes. And then I knew Tom. I mean, it was like, you know, when I was writing it, and I knew, of course, Tom as an actor, but also as just my brother.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, he's had this incredible career and had done all these, you know, phenomenal performances, and you know, like a lot of people in life, you know, like I even started this with my main character, one of them flawed, and so Tom, you know, got in a little trouble here and there, and so, you know, and so, and
right.
But he's, you know, he's you know, I mean,
he's a good
I mean,
spirit.
I think a lot of people, yeah, I mean, he's still, I mean, he's, you know, he's indefatigable. I mean, he doesn't give up. And then someone was crafting it, I was thinking that this could be a great role as he's making this comeback, you know, and try to write a role where, knowing him, where his verbal and physical rhythms, you know, that I could craft a role, you know, I flatter myself enough that I could craft a role knowing him that well, that where he could really just be, like they say in baseball, just turn and burn and put it in the seats. And I thought, and I, you know, I thought I had done it with this modern day Diogenes, this character. That I named Danny St. Louis. I don't know why. I just thought it sounded cool, even though he's a Detroiter. And everything set in Detroit. I mean, I all the locations. I mean, I really, you know, the pawn shops now by Old Tiger Stadium. and I knew that area so well as a kid, and you know, so I was able to get that milieu and you know that vibe. And it's, I think it's, you know, to me, unique to that area and at least in that time in my mind. And then at some point I had the main heist. They're stealing these pawnbrokers' cherished baseball cards that ironically aren't for sale, you know, which is, you know, the pawnbroker loves looking at them. So it really creates a problem when Tom and his Steven buddies steal them. And the pawnbroker goes fanatic, you know, he stole my Lou Gehrig's, my Ty Cobb's, my Cy Young's, my Mickey Mantle, you know, those tobacco cards, you know, tobacco pack cards. I think that's why that one card is worth so much. Because the guy was, he was like I don't know, it was a Quaker. One of those religions was against tobacco, was an evil. And it was third baseman. It'll come to me. It's worth, there's only like 7 or 8 known of them to exist. It's worth like $7 or $8 million. We didn't have that card. Yeah, because when the card came out.
Honus Wagner?
Yeah, Honus Wagner. Bingo. Thank you, sir. Yeah, he petitioned the tobacco company. He wasn't going to have his image associated with, you know, such an evil substance as tobacco. And so that's, you know, it's just like, you know, supply and demand. And so that's why it's so rare. He petitioned and won, and you know his image was not going to be sold with this evil substance. That's before Tops, and so this pawnbroker's got this collection from that era, and so you know, and it's so and then they're not. He just likes to look at them. Part of the story is he's attached to them. It's the only thing in the world that he has that's not for sale. You know, everything is for sale. Not these, though. And, you know, Tom and his thieves steal them. And it just sets off the subplot then hits the heist film. You got this whodunit and it all starts to kick into action.
Yeah.
But I thought that with the main character, you know, Tom, he's got the theatrical background. You know, I mean, I saw him play, you know, Shakespeare at Wayne State and, you know, playing Iago and Othello. And so I knew he could, like, I could make the language demanding and almost like this elevated, poetic Detroit speak. And not, you know, when I say poetic, not like rap, but just like had a poetic nature to it. Like, say, in Shakespeare, you know. I mean, people didn't walk around as Elizabethan England speaking as Shakespeare, as his character speaking, but, you know, we have that willing suspension of disbelief, and we think that, you know, to enjoy it, you know, and if it's done properly, we think that's how your people spoke to each other. Well, of course they didn't. That's it's this brilliant poetry. We didn't have that kind of facility with language, but that was like the idea, to have this, you know, almost, you know, artificially elevated world that would be reminiscent enough of Detroit that, you know, you'd recognize it, but everyone would speak in this elevated poetic Detroit street speak. And then I knew I could make Tom's character as demanding as possible because I knew he had chops for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this, you know, and at some point, I thought this would be a great role as he's mounting this, you know, I mean, he's working again. So, I mean, come back, but
right.
I think if we could put it together right,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I like to think that it's the role that would, you know, I would love it too, you know, I mean, that would put him right back where he, you know,
he deserves.
The, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Put him right back where he was before he got in all the mess. So
no.
And then when we had to, and at some point I thought, oh, this story works. I had Tom had read it, you know, say 100 times, and
yeah.
and you know, rewriting, you know, and then at some point I thought this works, and Tom agreed, and so he just started like handing it off like to actors he thought would work for a certain role. Like I got a fence.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of colorful. Rogue outlaw fence who's, you know, merciless and is loyal to only, you know, something with a dollar sign on it. And so then we, Felix the fence.
Sure.
And he's the guy that Tom goes through to sell the goods that he rips.
Yeah.
And so Tom just gave it to Danny. He was making a movie with Danny Trejo. And so he gave the script to Danny Trejo, and Trejo thought, I can see, I'd like to play that role. And
mm-hmm.
and that's how we, you know, built the cast, and the pawnbroker who gets ripped and of his cherished, you know, the characters, Ty Cobbs, and, you know, Mickey Mantles and whatever.
Yeah.
That was David Preval. And Tom, and, you know, and knew him and gave him. So that was Tom, like, really kind of playing a producer in a way, you know, like trying
sure.
to assemble the cast. And he did a great job, you know. He put together a mix of Malik Marinhart. He had worked recently in a movie called 513 and plays his partner in crime, his best buddy and partners in crime. And then before we knew it, we had, like, a full cast. And
wow.
a director and a core production team, you know, with Tom, Trejo, David Ruall, Malik Marinhart, Sally Kellerman. It's like Tom's always, characters always, whenever he's troubled, he seeks refuge in a bar. And he talks to this waitress, and then they just have this, you know, they have, you know, like a waitress often can serve as almost a psychiatrist, you know. And it's that kind of relationship, and where he goes to talk to this certain waitress and you know, unload. And then that Sally Kellerman fit perfectly for that part. And before we knew it, we had like, well, we had a full. Then we had some youngsters that we knew that Tom had worked with that were talented, like Mojan Aria. I mean, I think he's going to be like the next Marlon Brando, James Dean, Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, without the tragedy with Heath Ledger,
sure.
I don't wish that upon anyone. But and he had worked with them in. Film got a little kind of controversy because it was based on Jake LaMotta, kind of prequel sequel of Raging Bull, but then those people weren't really involved, so then they had to change the name.
Wow.
And to call it Bronx Bull. Yeah, but it's a good movie, you know, and Tom had met Mojan Aria, and he's a really talented kid from Australia. Like you say, you're going out to Australia. Mojan's from Australia. And then we had Mojan saw where he could play the getaway driver. I had been two main thieves, and their heists kept going awry, and then they realized that we need a good car with a good driver, you know. And so they recruit, you know, they take out an ad.
Oh, my.
You know, driver wanted, erratic hours, good money, and then Tom's character, he's always like, you know, put honest, because he's looking for an honest man, you know.
Yeah.
Put honest, you know. So, you know, that's how they get the getaway driver, you know, an honest getaway driver who reads, you know, because
yeah.
he's got to find the ad in the newspaper. So he's
well,
a triple
you know.
Threat. But that's Mojan. And so we got these youngsters, Anthony Del Negro and Mojan Aria, and then an actress from Luxembourg, Right, as Arger. So it was this mix of older veterans, with Tom and Trejo and David Preval, Sally Kellerman, and then these younger, really talented, you know, who had you know, done theater and got a few films under their belt, and we had a table reading, and it was just like, wow, I mean, it was great. You know, and it was, as you said, the essential ingredient that was missing was the funding, and we wanted to shoot it all in Detroit. I had set it exclusively in Detroit, and, you know, and Tom's character is always talking about how much he loves Detroit, and so when we would go to financiers and they'd want to shoot, oh, shoot part of Vancouver, or shoot, you know, shoot the exteriors here and that, and it was like, oh, no, we want to shoot the whole thing in Detroit because it's Detroit film. Tom and I are Detroiters. And then, you know, whatever, you know, budget we were able to create, I mean, we've had several budgets, like, because it's a heist film with a whodunit subplot, so if you wanted to do the getaway scenes and the shootouts, really do them well, and we knew it would, you know, cost a certain amount. But whatever we went in, and we thought, well, let's just throw out the crowdfunding since these financiers are giving us a hard time on shooting it exclusively in Detroit. And see how we do. I mean, and then we could shoot it exclusively in Detroit. We could put as many, you know, we had a core production team, but everyone else we could hire from Detroit and Detroit area.
Yep.
And Tom and I are Detroiters, and, you know, and it's not like it's the panacea, or, you know, it's going to, you know, cure the socioeconomic problems that have been taking years to, you know, finally reach ahead here, but it would be something.
Yeah.
And you know, and it would be the spirit of it, too. We hope others would follow the lead. And we're Detroiters, so let's try to give back as much as we can, and then, you know, we'll put as much of the crew of Detroit, as many of the extras and the smaller parts that hadn't been cast them all in Detroit. And that was, you know, so we said, well, the only way we're going to really be able to do that without a financier telling us how to do it, since we've got a good cast, you know, I mean, we've got a formidable cast that financiers would be, like, you know, jumping at when they saw the cast. But they really wouldn't want to do it where, hey, we want to shoot everything in Detroit. We want to, you know, all ancillary crew and extras and actors. We want them all to be from Detroit or Detroit area. And that was a stumbling block. So then with this, you know, crowdfunding that I'd play music and the local music scene in Detroit, and I would hear people talk about it. Kickstarter was the first one I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard people do it with CDs, which is a lesser, you know, financially a lesser, you know, endeavor. And it's the first time I'd heard about it. But after a year of messing around with these financiers and sticking to our guns and that we wanted a distinctly Detroit film, and you know. And we want the soundtrack to be Detroit, and we didn't necessarily just want, you know, the big shots that have, you know, if we got them, great, you know, but, you know, there's so many talented Detroit musicians, and if we got that kind of control from crowdfunding, then we could showcase them.
Sure.
And there's so much talent in the area. And so we thought, well, let's look into that. You know, I've heard of this Kickstarter thing, and we looked into that, and then we saw Indiegogo seemed to, you know, we liked Indiegogo better because it was somehow known more for films, seemed like, from the research we did, or Kickstarter was, although Indiegogo does all kinds of endeavors.
Sure.
So we put it on Indiegogo with the cast, all the cast members agreed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny Trejo and David Pro, everyone agreed, yeah, we'll go on Indiegogo for 60 days. And, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us knew how much, like you said, it's crazy how much work it was going to be with the, like, social media of trying to get essentially word of mouth. It's like grassroots, just think right now on your radio show. We're discussing it, and people are hearing about it that haven't heard about it. So we just had to do as much of that as we could. That's why I didn't want to miss the show, just an opportunity to discuss it. That is, you know, if I miss mm-hmm. it, you know, it's not coming around.
And that's
the only way we could get the word out to, you know, mm-hmm. help us try to make this film. We got a great cast, and, you know, we put together perks, but you could just contribute to if you chose to. And a lot of people have. Somebody came, we've been on there for about, we haven't been on there for 30 days yet, but we're getting there to the halfway point. And we're picking up momentum. I think it's just from getting the word out. But somebody gave $10,000 a week ago. It was like, wow, this guy named Bobby. Like,
yeah.
Geez, gave us a real shot in the arm. But we've got, you know, yeah, you know, but we don't expect, you know, people to be able to do that. I mean, that was
right.
great. That was incredibly, you know, incredibly generous. But every gift and contribution is gracious, and we've got all the way down to $5. I mean, you know, you could give a dollar. I mean, you know, anything would move us toward the goal and put us in the position to make the film exclusively in Detroit. And I mean, crowdfunding, ideally, we'd get thousands of people to just, you know, okay, that sounds like a worthy thing to do. I'd like to be a part of it and just, you
mm-hmm.
know, donate $20.
Sure.
And then we'd get there. I mean, you don't have to have these big $10,000 ones, although it was great.
I saw it,
I was like, you know, are you sure it cleared? But no, I talked to the guy. He's a great guy. He's a veteran. And he just loved Tom's work and like Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down. And he thought it was a great idea, you know, shoot it in Detroit and invest, you know, almost all the dough in Detroit. So
mm-hmm.
he came forward, and we're just going to keep pushing. We've got about five more weeks.
Yeah.
About 35 more days, I think, on Indiegogo.
I told Tom, his spirit is too good. You guys are too passionate. This is going to happen. And Dr. Day, I cannot wait for the film to come out because I want to see it right now.
Well, you know what? Maybe there's like a part for us in the movie.
Well, yeah, but we're not from Detroit. That's the problem. We're going to take a short break.
You guys are close enough. You guys are Midwesterners.
Yeah, we're going
to
take a short break.
We're trying to keep it Detroit.
Aaron Sizemore, you're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty, it's a bobcat? Of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's Bobcat, Abby. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flats. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'll be back with Aaron Sizemore in just a few moments and talk about the film An Honest Thief. Aaron is a screenplay writer, and it's been a great show, and he'll be coming on in just a couple more moments. Want to remind everyone, go to our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and connect to Blog Talk Radio and listen to some of our shows from the past, over 206 shows. Not only with our show with Aaron will be available tonight in just a few moments after our live broadcast, but also his brother Tom Sizemore and many of the rock and roll artists that we've had on, Rick Derringer, Bobby Caldwell from Johnny Winter, gosh, it goes on and on, Chris France from Talking Heads, Jimmy Greenspoon from Three Dog Night. It's all there. Go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com, and listen to the old shows. We want to thank Tire Service Plus in Indianapolis, Indiana. They keep our animal truck on the road. They make it possible for us to travel thousands of miles with our animal ambassadors, just like today. We were cleared out in the hills of Bedford, Indiana, visiting the school children with our animal family. Just give them a call. Tell them thank you for your support of Larry Batson's Wild World. 317-243-0700. I'm certainly they will appreciate it. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight, Aaron Sizemore, we found out he's a wonderful Beatles fan, so you remember the first time you heard that on the radio, Aaron?
You know, first time I heard it was waking up, and my dad had it playing on a turntable.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great to wake up to.
My goodness.
You know, it wasn't I Want to Hold Your Hand, but I remember waking up to. Because I'd have been maybe when I Want to Hold Your Hand came out, maybe one. I remember waking up to a Hard Day's Night.
Oh my Lord.
It was a Hard Day's Night LP that I was waking up to.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, it was so great to wake up to that record. My dad would just play the hell out of it.
God bless your dad. You know, he raised a couple pretty good guys.
Teak stereo system.
He raised a couple good young men because when you were talking earlier about the books you were reading in high school, how many high school students would read that kind of material? I mean, that's just phenomenal.
Well, we were fortunate in that regard. Yeah. Well, my dad, you know, I mean, my grandpa Sizemore, mm-hmm. He worked in the factory. My mom's dad, Grandpa Chanel, was a welder in the factory. And so, but my dad found a teacher that kind of mentored him, mm-hmm. Mrs. Stewart. and Corktown neighborhood.
Sure.
And then he went to Harvard out of high school.
Wow.
And, yeah, on a scholarship. So, I mean, he was poor as, you know, dirt poor. So he really, culturally, you know, he felt completely out of place. You know, I mean, it's somewhat a moneyed environment. But, and he certainly didn't come from that. I remember when he would come home and I mean, I hear the stories, you know. And if a counselor wanted to get a hold of my dad, they had a phone number for, and this is true, they had a phone number for the next-door neighbor. Because there was no phone in the Sizemore house.
Wow.
Just couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that kind of thing. But my dad, yeah, he had that kind of vision, and then certain people, I mean, like Mrs. Stewart, who saw my dad's promise, I think maybe in ninth grade, at, let's see, my dad graduated from Western High School, so I think maybe Franklin Junior High, I'm not sure, but Western, and would meet him, he'd take the bus and she'd meet him and walk him a mile to school and a mile back to the bus stop and just discuss his studies and that kind of thing and got him on the right path. It's that's the one kind of person like that can be so instrumental.
Oh,
because you know, my dad in his family of let's see, like six kids. The only one to graduate from high school, much less go to Harvard.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and
amazing.
So, but yeah, Tom and I were fortunate to have that environment where, you know, my dad would be, you know, reading us, you know, W.B. Yeats poetry, you know, isn't that beautiful? You
that's
know,
cool.
Like 12.
Now, you know, Dr. Day, Aaron is a musician, and he has agreed.
Well,
I
dabble.
Okay, Aaron is a musician. And
okay,
he's put his
ahead.
Little something together for us tonight, and we're both so excited.
Cool.
This is almost like a worldwide premiere, a debut from our friend of the show now, Aaron Sizemore. And,
can you hear that guitar?
Yes, we can.
Sounds beautiful.
Yes, it does.
All right, I'll play you a ballad.
Okay.
If you're playing rock and roll, but I'll play a ballad.
All right.
If I could write the perfect song, steal away your heart.
I could insinuate my way.
Very nice. Dr. Day.
I'm clapping.
I am clapping, too.
Ah, thank you. You're too kind.
That was beautiful.
Well, that was wonderful.
I could have played it better, but thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
It
that was so good.
Great.
Yeah, we did. I thought it was amazing. Gosh, Dr. Day.
I appreciate it. Like one way, like they go, and one way, like that song, like the guy's in love, and he's never given up, he's never given up, you know. I like those songs with a curve, you know, because at the end, he's like, took the picture out the wallet, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Man, I wish there was a movie we could use that in.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That would be wonderful, yeah. A movie might be filmed in Detroit.
Yeah, there you go, Aaron. Do the whole score.
Yeah, there we go. So now, Aaron, we want to make sure that everyone knows how to get to the information. So if they would like to contribute, and everyone please do, to make this Honest Thief a reality, because I want to see it. I want to go to the movies, and I want to see it. Tell them.
Yeah, well, you just go to... just go to Indiegogo, which is, I mean, Indiegogo. You just go to their site, and under films, you'll find An Honest Thief. And right there is our page. You click it. So you click it, and we've got all, you know, I mean, kinds of perks we put together. Like, an extra in the film or behind the scenes, or accompany us. We just added accompany us the Tiger game.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. You know, no telling what happened to go to the Tiger game with Tom and me. As one of the perks to incentivize people.
Sure.
Or if you want to just there's also an option to contribute to the film effort. I got a good friend AJ O'Neill, and he's got a great new coffee company in Detroit called Detroit Bowl Coffee Company, and he threw 300 bags of coffee at us, and which was an incredible gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And take off speakerphone, and which is one of the perks. I think we add a coffee mug. I'm an honest thief with that. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it's as one of the perks, you get an 8-ounce bag of Detroit Bold coffee. I don't get more Detroit than that with an I'm an honest thief coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you find us on Indiegogo under Films and Honest Thief.
Well,
yeah, I hope
you
look for us.
Oh, well, we will make sure that our listeners, and we want to remind everyone, tell your friends to listen to tonight's show, because it's going to be on podcast forever. And Aaron Sizemore, he is now, I hate to say this, he's a friend of the show, Dr. Day.
Yes, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
I'm honored to be so.
He's screwed.
Thank you, Larry.
For life.
Thank you,
now.
Dr. Day.
Yep. Yeah. One of us.
Oh my Lord. And when it's all done and put together, we have to do this again, because after it's been financed and filmed, we want to make sure we get in on the promotion of the actual film in theaters. And
yes.
That would be great. And I thank you for giving us the platform and promoting us and supporting us, and that's what we need, is just this grassroots, you know, support, instead of like one, you know, well-heeled financier, which is fine, that works for some people, but for what we were trying to do, it never seemed to work out to do it. A whole thing in Detroit, and to make it a Detroit film, premiered in Detroit, and kind of wear Detroit on its sleeve, and so it's a grassroots effort, and so it's a they say filmmaking is an ensemble effort.
It is.
So this is even more so.
Yeah.
You know, we need the whole crowd to join the ensemble effort and become honest thieves with Tom Sizemore and Aaron Sizemore.
Well, we know by the enthusiasm of you and your brother that we're going to have a great movie.
Yes, I think so.
I think so, and we've got the right. They say 90% of directing is casting, and I think we've got some real good actors in the right spots, and so if the crowd gets behind us. For 35 days, gets behind us and brings us home, and we'll be there. So I'll just keep pushing it till the tank's empty.
I just think it's phenomenal. Dr. Day, what a wonderful guest we've had tonight.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's really been fun.
It has been.
Thank you so much.
And we want to remind everyone that tell your friends, listen to tonight's broadcast in the archives. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson with two T's. And have a great week, everyone. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.